Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another Talking Rugby Union podcast. I'm joined with our very own Max Ashcroft. How are you today, Max?
I'm good, thanks. Joe, yourself?
Yes, I'm not too bad, actually. Yeah, can't really complain.
University nearly all done and dusted, isn't it?
Week on Friday, yeah. And then I'm being let loose on the world.
Not a bad thing.
No, it's a scary thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always a scary thing, but I think go into the real world with some good experience under your belt.
Yeah, probably going to be with TIU a lot as well, I think, hopefully. That's the idea, please.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking today about the world of rugby union. Kelsey Preezer, we're going to be talking rugby union as well. So, where better start than our very own Gallagher Premiership, where we've had some pretty big results, actually, I'd say, this weekend. I don't know.
Yeah, how was it, the Sale Bath game on Friday?
Poor you.
That's an evening I'm never going to get back. It was, look, Sale are going to be well happy because they won. But from a spectacle, it was one of the worst.
It wasn't really a spectacle.
No, it was one of the worst games rugby I've watched in a long time. I know the weather wasn't great, but both teams will be pretty embarrassed about that result. Freddie Burns misses, I think, three or four penalties from the tee.
Were they easily kickable? I mean, I know you're a loose head prop, and that's an unfair question to ask.
They weren't the toughest of kicks.
Right. For a Premiership player, we'll
yeah.
say.
Then Priestland comes on in the second half, misses one sort of relatively in front. Then a couple of plays later, he knocks it on his own 5 meter line. They scrum a few more phases and then they get a penalty. He miskicks the penalty. Doesn't go into touch. He's a world class player. Freddie Burns is a world class player.
Hence why they're having them both at the club, of course.
Yeah. Those guys aren't going anywhere. They're staying. They need to start winning games for Bath.
Are Bath in a weird position in that we were under the impression Todd Blackadder was staying until at least the end of next season, and then suddenly it's announced he's off to Japan?
It's the same old Bath it's been for years. Blackadder was lucky to keep his job last season. They've ultimately probably had one of the biggest budgets in the Premiership for a long time.
I mean, we look at the players that have left, Sam Burgess, Kyle Eastman, George Ford. So yeah, I probably agree with you, yeah.
But then you compare them to Saracens, because that's what all the Premiership sides are comparing. They're comparing to Saracens, aren't they? They want to be the Saracens. Saracens have a good core group of players that aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And Bath, I'm pretty sure that's what Bath wanted to build. They wanted to get some 7-8 English internationals that aren't going anywhere, that are world-class players. They've had them, but then they've left and gone.
All been injured in the case of Anthony Watson, yeah, and Jonathan Joseph.
And they're just, for the owner, it gets to a point, he's put that much money in. Like, where do they go now? What do they do now in the off season? What can they do? I don't know where. Oh, they go and buy a load more players again, and then this happens two more years. They just need to find themselves and create an identity. I think they've lost the way over the years. I really do.
Do you think they have an excuse, or maybe they don't even realise this, because they want to build the new stadium? Do they have that excuse of nothing starts until we get that new stadium?
Yeah, they're in a really tricky position. I just don't know what the answers are. And they've got Blackadder's gone. If that's him being told, I think you should leave now, or is that him saying, I'm getting out of here before, is it a sinking ship?
Yeah.
But they just, over the last 5 years, they've just really underachieved.
Mm. And one of the reasons, obviously, you're so passionate about it is because you were at the club for several years as an academy player.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is all hindsight and everything, and, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. At the time you're at the club, and maybe around the time you were leaving, do you think this actually is a club that's on the down rather than the up?
No, I thought they were on the up. When I left, I thought they were on the up. I thought they had a clear their identity. They moved into Farley House, state-of-the-art training facilities, got some amazing coaches on board, were building some great players, but then just underachieved. Mm-hmm. And then it's only in recent years that they've had a flurry of buying top-class internationals that have not, you know, haven't, you know, as a group, they haven't really gelled. And as from an owner's point of view, when he assesses him taking over Bath and what's happened in however many years that he's owned the club, what do they have? What does he have anything to show for it? Like, they haven't won anything. And from a commercial point of view, you're putting in that much money and they still haven't got an identity. Like, you know, we'd say, oh, they would have this, like, running rugby, you know, they had all these flair players in Joseph, Anthony Watson, Banahan, Rocco Degouni. They need to start winning. They need to start becoming a dominant force. And, yeah, I think they're just in a, you know, to get 3 points on a Friday night at Sale, you know, it's just disappointing. And it was just, you know, I was there in the South Stand, standing up, full of Sale supporters who were cheering Sale on, and I was just disappointed to be sort of supporting Bath, because there was just, you know, I think Rudri McConachie, the informed winger in the Premiership, got the ball a couple of times. That was it.
He's been probably the best player in the last 3 months.
And it's players like Rudri that you need to be building a team around.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, he wears, you know, he'll put that shirt on every game and be the proudest. Same with Tom Dunn. You know, I know Dave Atwood's leaving, but he's someone that's been at the club for a long time and puts in a massive effort every time. Tom Ellis, the six as well, has been a Bath lad, but, you know, he was at Millfield, came through the ranks. It's lads like those that you can see on the pitch that put in 120%, that they know every time they put a Bath shirt on that they want to do their best. And it's players like that that they need to start building the squad around. It gets to a point, don't just keep bringing in these top players that are on ridiculous amounts of money. You know, like Banahan leaving is to go to Gloucester.
And we'll talk about where Gloucester are in a few minutes.
You know, that was a big thing for me when you're getting rid of someone that's been at the club and given the club so much.
I think I remember your tweet, or it might have been on Talking Rubini, I don't know, and you were talking about just what Banners was like off the pitch.
Yeah, great bloke, great family man, like one of the nicest blokes you'll meet. And you've got to give that bloke respect. He's given so much to the club. And then just to, you know, rumours were that he wanted a little bit extra money and they wouldn't give him that extra money. Now, from a commercial point of view, fine, fair enough, you're playing budgets going elsewhere. But have some respect for a bloke that's been there for so long and give him that extra little bit of money, because he galvanises the players, he galvanises the squad, he galvanises the Bath supporters, and I just don't think they're getting the formula right, and nobody really talks about Bath anymore, like, gets excited about him, which is the disappointing thing.
I don't know if we can even talk about Bath anymore. It feels like it's going to be a very dour podcast if we carry on doing so.
No, look, I just think they need to go back to the drawing board with it, and the answer is not spending each other loads of money on players. Just find an identity, keep giving the young lads an opportunity, and, you know, a new face at coach, you know, get Hooper's a good Bath bloke. If he gets director of rugby, I hope that they can rebuild. But it's just disappointing to go watch Sale versus Bath and it be 6-3, and, you know, it's just disappointing being a Bath supporter, because I was lucky. I supported Bath before I was even at Bath.
Right.
So I've always supported them from the get-go, from being a kid. So I'm very passionate about them, but I've just lost my, you know, excitement. I remember, you know, before I was at Bath, or when I was at Bath, so excited to see Bath on TV, wanted to watch them. They were playing exciting brand, but it's just, to me, it's just not the case anymore.
Right. I suppose, actually, what we should say, AJ McGinty, your defence coach, scored the two penalties that gave Sale a win.
Yeah, look, AJ's a great bloke, really nice, he's a gent. And there was a bit of, you know, you could hear some of the fans around, and there was a bit of AJ, he's a bit, in this star-studded back line.
Right.
There were people just chatting about him, saying, you know,
that he didn't necessarily fit.
Yeah, or didn't have that necessary flair.
Oh.
You know, because at the back line, you've got O'Connor inside, you've got Solomon at Ashton.
De Klerk.
You've got all these. But to me, he's the kind of the glue within that Sale team.
It can't all just be flair players,
no,
can it?
No, not at all. Defensively, one of the best tens in the...
We've talked about you at Sedge and how he's changed how the backs defend completely.
Yeah. He's a great kicker. He gives them field position. He gives them territory. So, you know, Diamond obviously likes him a lot. Got a lot of time for him. You know, he's not the quickest of lads, but he's got a great rugby brain, and I think they need to keep him there. They need to, and it's just a tough place to go and play rugby in. You know, they've built it, you know, AJ Bell, they've built it. It's a bit of a fortress AJ Bell, isn't it, really? And I just, like I said, you're not going to get too many positives from me on about the Friday, but a win's a win for Sale.
And the other Friday night game is one I'm going to be quite dour about now. Newcastle Falcons 17, Northampton Saints 31. It's all over. One season after finishing fourth. Newcastle Falcons look set to be relegated from the Gallagher Premiership, as it's known now.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much this weekend it'll probably cement it.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing Gloucester at King's Home, so I'm not holding out for great things there. It's a, you know, it's disappointing more than anything, I'd say.
Oh, as a Newcastle fan for yourself, it must be having such a big year that they had, and now it's just flipped it completely. And again, I'm very passionate about Northern rugby, and seeing Newcastle go down to the Championship is the last thing that I want to see.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I mean, the thing is, I mean, if I put the more business side of my brain on, it's like, well, you know, we get to do some good Championship content next season, because there's gonna be honestly is a massive club down there in the Championship. Which, as much as London Irish are a big club and they've been in the Championship the last couple of years, so are Bristol. Newcastle going down there is a bigger story, because they were in the Champions Cup this season. And it's disappointing to see, but there's already been players leaving, and there's going to be no second rows next season. So could be.
Are people jumping ship? Are players jumping? Have players been jumping ship? Do you think?
Potentially, and I wonder if maybe that's played a part in some of the recent results.
Do you think a lot of the players had in the contracts that they could go elsewhere if they were?
It's been the case in the past. I mean, with McGuigan, the first time he left, I believe that was when Newcastle were fairly poor. I'm trying to think of the famous example is Don Barrow. He had in his contract before he joined Leicester that if they finished in the bottom two, he could leave, and he did. And they only finished 11th that year, so it probably was the case, and I think they knew they were going to be 11th or 12th, and the players have been sorting themselves contracts elsewhere. I mean, Callum Green going to Leicester, great signing for Leicester. I mean, Leicester, the other side, could get relegated, but realistically, probably won't happen. It's disappointing for me as someone that's grown up in the Northeast. When my first games was Johnny Wilkinson, Toby Flood, Lee Dixon. I'm trying to think, there were some cracking players in that back line. Matthew Tate, I suppose, at the time as well.
And do you go into a season in Championship nervous?
Yes, because there's not really been any signings announced, so there's a lot of uncertainty about what the main squad's going to look like. And obviously, like players like Will Welch will stay, Nagusa probably won't, Caleb Chick will stay. I'm only thinking about
Gonova.
Oh, apparently he's already gone. Apparently he's going to France somewhere. I can't blame him. He's 34. Sinotti, he signed.
And will all the coaches stay? Because they've got a star-studded coaching lineup.
I think
Because by all accords, Walder.
Oh, he's an amazing coach.
He's probably seen as one of the bright English coaching sparks around.
Yeah, definitely. And he's a Northeast kid, so I imagine he will stay.
Or do you think someone else will pick him up?
Well, so where I am from in the Northeast, or where I grew up in the Northeast, Dave Walder's kids went to the same school as me. And they're a lot younger than me, but it was the same school. So I think he's very settled in that family environment, is what I'm trying to say. So I think it would be a tremendous stretch for... I mean, I could be completely wrong. This is the disclaimer I'll put out there. It would be an emotional stretch for him to say, I'll go coach at Leicester Tigers or at Sale Sharks. Because, I mean, as you know, Sale Sharks have got a pretty solid... I mean, a lot of these clubs aren't even hiring. That's the other thing at the end of the day. It's more about whether Dean Richards stays, I'd say.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for them. It really is. And I think what Dean Richards has done for the club is tremendous. But yeah, I do. Uncertainty at Newcastle Falcons.
Yeah, it's just the playing squad more than anything like that. I mean, if we could keep Rodney Ayew, that would be pretty good as well.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed watching him play. But... You know, that is just what it is. It's just uncertainty. We don't know what the future's going to hold for the team. It's when you think about their catchment area as well, that's huge, really, because it's Cumbria as well. It's not just Northumberland and Durham and I'm trying to think where else. I don't really want to say Sunderland out loud. But yeah, anyway, that's Newcastle Falcons, and we'll preview their next game probably a little bit soon.
Yeah.
But we're nearly 20 minutes in already. We've only talked about two of the games.
Wow.
So we might as well maybe we'll try and keep these ones brief. Exeter Chiefs 17, Harlequins 15. Harlequins have only won 1 in 7.
Yeah, they're doing everything in their power not to get that fourth spot. look, I watched the game. On Saturday, watched it on TV, and Rob Baxter apparently gave the Exeter forwards a
bit of a break,
bit of a bollocking.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, Marler and Sinclair dismantled Hepburn and Williams.
Oh,
in the scrum,
Sinclair loses.
Ben Moon getting a yellow card for a team offence at the scrum. Now, personally, I think Marler should be getting on a plane to Japan. I think he should come out of retirement. But Harry Williams seemed to be one of the top tight head props in England. He got dismantled. But Harlow, yeah, they're just missing something, aren't they? It's typical. It's a standard Exeter performance. Started really well. Some great couple of tries, but then just took the foot off the gas. And I think it's going to be a big game for Harlequins this Friday against Leicester.
Yeah.
Because Leicester are going to be fighting for everything, and Harlequins know if they get a win there, then they're back in the mix.
Yeah. Did you catch Joe Marler's little outburst as well that was going around social?
You're boring media? Me, was it? Was it?
There was another word in between.
Yeah,
boring
we won't
me.
Use that, but yeah, fair play. I think it's getting ridiculous. You know, referees are saying use it. 1 second, 2 second, 3 seconds.
What is the rule? Is it 5 seconds?
Well, I thought if he says use it,
you've just got to do it.
You've got to, but. Scrum halves are just getting so much time to use it. So, fair play to Joe Marler. It's pretty typical Marler outburst, though.
He was on the Rugby Joe podcast again the other day. It was quite good, actually.
Yeah, him and Alex Payne seem to get on pretty well.
Yeah, eating Joe Marler's meat.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll leave that to the imagination of people that haven't seen it yet. Or listen to it. Another game was a pretty big result for the Bristol Bears, beating Leicester Tigers 20-23. Harry Thacker going to his old club, scoring a late try to win it.
Yeah, he'll be absolutely buzzing with that. I don't think he, by all accords, he didn't want to leave. I don't think he really wanted to leave
Leicester.
Feels
like a few of the players that have recently left Leicester didn't really want to go.
So I think it's just rubbing more salt in the wound, isn't it, for Leicester? You know, this podcast feels like doom and gloom, really. But it, you know, let's be honest, Leicester going to finish second from bottom in the Premiership,
unless something remarkable happens. Yeah,
which is bizarre to say. I can't believe I'm saying it. And
2 seasons ago, they'd never been outside the top four for like 15 years or something.
So again, they're going to have to rebuild. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go?
There's already a few players leaving. I think Matt Tamura, Pallotta now. Who else is leaving? There's several in there.
Kitchener.
He's going to Worcester.
Yeah.
I mean, he's from the West Mids. I mean, his school's down the road from where I live.
Yeah.
But so big rebuilding job at Leicester, really. I mean, I couldn't name you two starting wingers.
For Leicester?
Yeah.
Johnny May?
Oliver Fowler. Okay, I can. I forgot about Johnny May.
Yeah.
Plays for England as well.
One of England's best wingers.
One of England's best player, probably. Anyway,
No, look, I'm chuffed for Facker. That would have been a great day for him and his family. You know, every credit to him.
Yeah, I believe Harry Thacker's brother plays for Nottingham as well. Yeah, that's a fun fact. And his dad played for Leicester as well, actually, back in the day.
There we go.
Back in the day, Wasps lost at home to the Ricoh Arena to Saracens, 14 points to 31. Saracens playing their second week in a row at the Ricoh. Sarri's standard performance, really?
Yeah, good intercept try by Ben Spencer early doors. You know, Sofawanga got a good try from a Ben Spencer charge down box kick. Simpson took it, offloaded to Kane and Mile, and then I think me managed to get the offload to Sopoanga. Obviously, horrible about Jimmy Gopperth breaking his form.
One first game back after doing his ACL in pre-season against Ulster.
Horrible for him. But he played on with the form as well.
Yeah, hard man.
Hard man.
Wanted to play.
It was just a typical Saracens performance. Mm. It's just, you know, again, just great defence, good at solid attack, got some good star players in there. Yeah, just a really professional job by them.
Don't want to take it down the dark road again, but Wasps haven't had a great season either. I mean, let's think. Elliot Daly's leaving at the end of the season. But of course, they're bringing in a fairly good player in Fekitoa.
I just think this season's been an odd one in the Premiership. Hmm. Newcastle, great last season, then are going to get relegated. Leicester had a strongish last season.
Did all right.
They're in the relegation battle. Mm. Wasps had a good season last season.
Definitely, yeah.
And they've been pretty woeful this year. So it's just a bit of a turning of the guard, shall we say? You know, we've got Gloucester and North. So basically, we've got Gloucester 61. We know that they're in the playoffs now.
Yep.
And it's all battle for fourth. So we've got Sale on 48, Harlequins 51, Northampton 51, Wasps 47.
But the problem is with that is that the top two are so far ahead in comparison that pretty much we can say now, probably maybe not comfortably actually, that the pretty much those two playoff games for the final are going to be blowouts.
Yeah,
for the home team.
It's been a really odd season in the Premiership. It really has. You can't really look any further than Exeter Saracens final.
Yeah. And the thing is, I was just thinking, and I was like, is that like that every World Cup year? It's not. Last World Cup year, it was Bath versus Saracens final.
Hmm.
So that tells you how different it was even just 4 years ago.
Yeah, and this is what I fear for the clubs even more, is that they're going into a World Cup year. Mm. And they need to get their squad strong. They need to, because it's going to be tougher. That September, November, that September time is going to be tough for the squad. So, yeah, we'll see where they're all at.
Anyway, so we'll look at... Oh, hang on. There's one more game to talk about from last weekend. That was Worcester Warriors 27, Gloucester 20. Now, that was a pretty depressing result to come in for me. Worcester Warriors are safe from the drop, and Gloucester have somehow, as a result, secured their playoff space.
Yeah, well deserved by Gloucester. They've had a great season. Cipriani just been tearing it up.
Oh, he's been a joy to watch, hasn't he, really?
Mark Atkinson at 12 has been a real highlight for me.
Matt Banahan on the wing.
Yeah, they've also had, I think, I can't never say the second row's name. Mostert. Yeah. It's probably been one of the best second rows in the Premiership this year.
Oh, by far, yeah.
I just think what Ackerman's doing there is really impressive. He's got a good, strong South African contingent there. If people don't like it, that's fair enough, but he's got people in that he wants and he knows, and it's getting the results. And just great to see them in the playoff. And I can't remember the last time they were in a playoff.
8 years ago.
8 years ago. So that's great for Gloucester. Gloucester's a rugby town. There'll be a great buzz in that playoff game. So, really pleased for them.
Yes. So it looks like at the minute they'll be playing Exeter Chiefs.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. But we'll look ahead to this weekend as we're nearly 30 minutes into recording. Nice. Nearly, very close. But we'll talk about this game, Harlequins versus Leicester Tigers. We alluded to it before. Tigers have to win, but Quins are at the stoop.
I think Harlequins will get the win here. I like to think so, yeah. I'll keep that short and sharp. I'll get Harlequins there for the W.
Yeah, I'll probably say Quins as well. The second game is Bristol Bears versus Sale Sharks. Bristol very close to a Champions Cup spot.
Bristol are going to go into it with confidence. They're going to, you know, they're going to back themselves, I think, to get the win there. And Sale won't have much confidence in the Friday night game.
No.
But yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting battle, and I can see that. I can't really pick that, if I'm honest.
No, it is a difficult one, because if Sale play the way they did on Friday, then they could have the same amount of points at the end of it. But then Bristol, because they've got quite a flowing back line at the minute in particular, and then the forwards are pretty good as well. Harry Thacker, you get him on the back of a maul. Yeah. You look at the players that he's got in front of him, John Afoa and Jan Thomas, yeah. Loosehead. Things are pretty tidy, and then they do often change the team for away games. So squad rotation, I'd have to say Bristol Bears W.
Yeah, good. Let's go with that.
Northampton Saints versus Worcester. This could be the sleeper game of the weekend.
Worcester again, with that win against Gloucester, a lot of confidence, and they'd love to get a victory over Northampton. And look, Northampton have had such like an up and down season. Again, another really close game, but I back Worcester to get a result there.
Yeah. I'm going to say Northampton.
Nice.
Because I feel like there's something in that. I'm trying to think who they'd have. I mean, Comus Reinach, I mean, what player? Rory Hutchinson, Dan Bigger. I'm trying to think who else would be playing in that squad. I haven't even seen a first team squad for them in a while. Saw the second team the other day. That was quite good. Ribbon, second row. Quite like him.
Gibson.
Actually. Yeah, Gibson. He got a pretty nasty cut on his leg actually from the Astro up at Kingston Park. It was large.
Large. Say that's like that. Keep it at that. Yeah.
Tayman Harrison's recently become captain of the club. It looks like.
Yep.
I don't know if Tom Wood's injured. Might be completely off the mark on that one. Another game is the top two clash between Saracens and Chiefs. Could both teams take it a bit easy, knowing that this is probably going to be the final?
No, Exeter won't. Not after their performance against Harlequins. Baxter wasn't a happy bunny. He'll put the strongest team he can out, and he'll say we need to get a result against Saracens.
And then the Saracens have the potential of maybe taking it easy, because they do have a Champions Cup final game the Saturday after.
Yeah, I think Saracens, for them, it's who do we need to rest? Who do we need to? Because the squad depth's so large. They've got such, you know, Tompkins has been. In my opinion, Tompkins has been one of the best outside centres for such a long time, and he's never had a shot at England. And he's on the bench.
And he's soon going to have Elliot Daly there as well.
So the squad depth, and you know, they've signed Alex Day recently, they've signed Jack Singleton.
Yep.
They know what they're doing. This is going back to what I was saying. They know their identity, they know who they want, they've done their recruitment well. And again, it's they're smart signings that they've made.
It will be said as well, Exeter will be without Jack Knoll, as he doesn't travel to artificial pitches. He's got a knee problem, which basically means that he won't play an artificial turf.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, fun fact. Fact of the day.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we've got. Gloucester versus Newcastle Falcons. Gloucester are going to win it.
Yeah, it's going to be... Gloucester will just want to... They lost... At the end of the day, they lost against Worcester.
Yeah.
So they want to get back to winning ways, get that momentum going for the playoffs. So, but some exciting games.
Oh, definitely. And then the final one of the weekend, Bath versus Wasps. I mean, that's pretty...
In the context of the league position, it's a massive game, and both teams that just have been underperforming, so they want to get a W. That both teams need the W.
Yeah, and that's enough that's enough Gallagher Premiership chatter. Sore from the weekend, Max.
Yeah, just stretching off a little bit there.
Yeah, but that's enough of the Gallagher Premiership chat for now. We're going to take a little look around everywhere else because there's a few rugby stories knocking around. Topsy Ojo of London Irish has announced his retirement just a couple of days after they secured their return to the Premiership. We did a chat with him for NCAA Rugby earlier on in the year. Great servant for London Irish, 16 years or something like that as a pro.
Yeah. Him and Dave Strettle obviously must have been having a few beers together, decided to announce the retirements quite closely together. Great servant for the club, great ambassador for rugby in the UK. You know, he's done it on his terms, and he's going to stick around rugby, whatever, coaching.
Well, he's been involved with London Irish Wildies.
Yeah, just a great servant for the club, and we wish him all the best in what he does next.
And I suppose it's what we're talking about earlier on with Bath. That's the kind of player that teams are built around, really.
Yeah,
guys that want to stay.
Irish built team around him,
and for the last 16 years.
Yeah. So,
and you look at some of the players that London Irish have over the years: Marlon Yard, Anthony Watson, Marcus Watson. The list is pretty endless, actually. Thinking about it, when I start reeling off the names. But they secured their return with a win over Richmond, and then results went their way the following day. So pretty exciting to see them back up in the Premiership, moving to Brentford soon, new ground, new start.
Yeah, I want them to stay in the Premiership. Let's not hope that they go down. Let's hope that they can kick on and not be the whiffing boys.
Well, the likelihood is everything will be ring fenced anyway.
Yes,
unfortunately.
And all this chat is pointless.
Yeah. So what are we really doing right now, Max?
Yeah.
The Wales squad was announced today. Wales, of course, winning the Six Nations with a Grand Slam. However, none of their Pro 14 sides have secured a Champions Cup spot as of right now.
Yes. That's... why is that?
Playing awful rugby.
But why they win the Grand Slam and then... They just, the domestic teams just can't get performances together. It's a bizarre one for me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's not even like a really good way to put it, because last season, I suppose, Newcastle Falcons had the Challenge Cup and they didn't really compete in it. They basically had two separate squads, and that could have been one of the reasons they got the top four. That's, that could be it. And then you look at the way some of the teams have been doing it this season, it's been a bit different in the Northampton Saints have played pretty much a strong squad every week, even in the Challenge Cup, and got to the semi-final. So, but the difference is in Welsh rugby is that they do kind of have those centralised contracted players, and that they probably won't play. And I don't actually think, when I think about it, there's actually not that much depth in them squads.
Oh.
It goes from international quality players across the board to one or two. Maybe. And maybe they might not even be Welsh.
No, it's an issue. It is an issue. And what are the answers? We'll just have to wait and see for the end of season, for into the next season.
Yeah, and only a few weeks ago, we were talking about two of the regions becoming one.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff up in the air. Yeah, I don't think they really have the answers.
Yeah, so just some other little things. Gareth Anscombe's moving to the Ospreys from the Cardiff Blues. Apparently Ross Moriarty might be moving from Dragons to Ospreys as well. There's a little one. # rugby rumours.
Yeah, rugby rumour right there.
And the final thing we're going to talk about today, because this is going to be a pretty short NCAA... this isn't the NCAA. This is Talking Rugby Union.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fairly short Talking Rugby Union podcast. The women's final that happened at the weekend at Franklin's Gardens. Saracens versus Harlequins.
Yeah.
Saracens retained their title. 2 years in a row now, they've won it. They give out a big bag of crisps to the
player of the match.
I found out apparently it's just a massive bag just filled with loads more packets of crisps. It's basically a multi-pack.
Just a multi. So you got, they got a multi-pack.
I think it's an extravagant one. I don't think it's like what we'd get from Tesco's.
Well, if Tyrrells want to sponsor this podcast, please.
Or Tesco's.
Or Tesco's, please.
I'd take the Tesco's.
Yeah.
I mean, my club card's on the ropes these days. Yeah. But yeah, so that was really good. And obviously, we're quite heavily involved with university rugby. Yeah. They're launching their own kind of Super League, like we've seen in the men's competition as well. So women's rugby is something that's really at the forefront of thought right now.
Yeah. Getting some good big sponsors on board from women's football, Tyrrell sponsoring the women's rugby. So it's all exciting stuff for the women's game. And, you know, it's going to be a big couple of years for women's rugby.
Yeah, so hopefully next season we'll get down to some events. I'm trying to think. Tyrrells will be back on as well. Who did I talk to the other day? I was talking to Rich Wincup the other day about going down to Worcester Valkyries just to see him, basically.
Yeah.
So hopefully there'll be some stuff in the near future. You know, next season, it's kind of starting afresh, really, isn't it? Although
yeah.
We've got the main problem is actually for us is there's a Rugby World Cup and we have to do all that between what, four of us?
Yeah.
So things could be quite interesting at the start of next season.
Busy year.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right.
We'll be fine.
A little bit of a break at the end of November. Well, yeah. Not for you. You'll be playing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's the difference. I'll be probably in my bedroom doing live shows, talking about games. But we do have a few content ideas, I think, for the Rugby World Cup already.
Yeah, or will be released soon.
Yeah, that's you know, it's end of the season. We have to start thinking about these things.
Planning gets into place now.
Yeah. What we should say is, for anyone listening to this that hasn't listened to the NCAA Rugby podcast, which is also on this kind of, iTunes, however you listen to this podcast, which will be on there as well. I'll be down in Canterbury this weekend for the NCAA. Should be quite a good little event we're going to there. It's the playoff game between Canterbury and Chester. We talk about that quite extensively, I'd say, on the NCAA Rugby podcast with some guest features from Colin Campbell and James Robbins from Chester Rugby Club.
Yep.
And then Chris is going to be doing some other stuff for ncarugby.com as well. But keep your eyes peeled as well on talkingrugbyunion.co.uk. There will hopefully be some more columns coming up soon. I think Josh Beaumont's the one that's in the books.
Johnny Liotta
as well, and maybe Simon Hammersley.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, I wish him all the best in the next couple of weeks, of course. Are they going to the Champions Cup final? I only told you about that the other day.
Yeah.
Earlier, actually.
Yeah. So that'll be a good weekend for you.
It should be right. Unfortunately, it's very work-based and not very booze-based. Oh, but, you know.
Sneak a few pints in somewhere.
I mean, I've had seven this morning and you've not noticed. So, yeah, no, it should all be fine. But yes, I'd like to thank everyone for taking their time to listen to this podcast. Hopefully in the near future, I'll be reeling off some sponsors. So if anyone wants to get in contact about that, info@talkingrugbyunion.co.uk. And just please make the topic podcast, otherwise it will get lost amongst everything else.
Yeah.
I think there's a few emails that come into that account.
Yeah, a few bizarre emails, that's for sure.
Please send me £500.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I'd like to thank everyone very much for listening. It means a lot to us that people listen to our ramblings, really.
Yeah, we really appreciate the support. Give us some feedback, review it. That would be great.
Yeah, because then more people can listen and there's more chance we're getting a sponsor so we don't have to be stressed about doing podcasts.
Yeah.
But no, thank you very much. I've been Joe Harvey. You can find my socials at JoeHarvey34 on Twitter and Instagram. And the question is, can Max Ashcroft remember his off the top of his head?
Twitter @Max_Ashcroft. Instagram MaxAshcroft20.
There we go. Lovely stuff. Talking Rugby Union can be found at www.talkingrugbyunion.co.uk, @TalkRugbyUnion on Twitter, @TalkingRugbyUnion on Instagram, and just type in Talking Rugby Union on Facebook. And it should be the first one
It'll
up
be
on
the first
there.
One, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Confidence is key.
Yeah.
Yes, but thank you very much for listening. I'm sure you'll hear us next time.